It's precious to have a family do something like that. And you know, it says a lot about parents. There's a lot of time spent there, and we appreciate that. One thing I forgot to mention was thank you for each one of you that worked at the fair tent. We got some contacts. We made some contacts. We made some inroads, but maybe it wasn't everything that we expected, but it was what God wanted. It happened that way, didn't it? So therefore, it had to be what God wanted. Well, for the last couple, 3 weeks, we've been looking at how God works through us and how He inspires our very souls to accomplish His will. And that becomes very important because we know that He indwells us. If we're saved, we know that He indwells us. We know that He speaks to us and convicts us where we are going astray. He corrects us then by drawing us closer to Him through His Word and listening to Him speak to us. And we seek repentance and confession then of our sins so that we can have a peace in our very hearts. How the Holy Spirit just continues to open up to us clear direction to serve out our Christian life and Christian ways. And then we got a Holy Spirit that's living inside us that motivates us, to motivate us into doing those things that where we have burdens and that we're praying about and seeking how we can accomplish what He wants. He loves us, and we love Him. And we serve Him because we love Him, don't we? He shows us one step at a time how we are to walk through life. Sometimes they don't agree with what we believe ought to be our steps in life, and sometimes it seems foreign to us because we don't necessarily always agree with Him. But the important thing is, He's always right. Today I want to hopefully take us on another journey. And you know, we talk about, well, what is the church's purpose? And we're talking about the church's purpose. We're talking about where we need to be going and allowing God to lead us. And well, what is our vision? What is it? Well, our vision is the same as the Great Commission. We've got to go and to tell and to teach and make disciples and love people and love our God and praise Him and lift Him up. That's our purpose too. But if we're to reach and to love everyone as God tells us that we're to be, when you love someone and there's a need there, and our hearts are burdened, when our hearts are burdened, we should be praying. And as we're praying, the Holy Spirit will start to release things to us, knowing precisely through the emotional part, through the prayer, and then He'll release to us, maybe through His Word, but He'll release to us and show us what we need to do. This morning I'm going to try to cast a vision for us, that we've always had it, as long as I've been around, is to reach families. To reach families. To help families. And especially in this particular time in each of our lives. There's some of us that just, it's difficult because we lose hope sometimes. We need hope. We need that hope. But even those ones around us that we work with and we have acquaintances, maybe even family, that needs hope. Sometimes life is just difficult to deal with when it comes to husband and wives. Sometimes we get into some disagreements that really didn't have to happen. Sometimes we just don't know how to deal with the child discipline problems that face us. Sometimes we just don't know how to deal with the financial crisis that we all have to do, that there's just not enough to stretch to accomplish everything. Sometimes that can create a hopeless feeling. I understand that, and many of you do, if not all of us. But the Holy Spirit is always there, living inside us, to give us answers to some things. That doesn't take away the very fact that whenever we see others hurting, that we need to reach to them. And one of the ways that we can reach to them, God gave us a long time ago now, and we've did it to some extent, but we tried to implement it at the fair. We're going to continue to implement it through the church and everyone that you can see, is to allow people to see things that can be aids to them. And we're going to talk about those this morning. But the first of all, before you can talk about them and you understand them, understand that I believe this is a vision that God's giving us, because it comes right out of His Word. We're to love people. We're to edify people. We're to reach to where their burdens are and where their needs are and try to supply that need. And I believe that we have some things that can do that. If we have a vision of the very fact that we have a group of people that's around us every day that feels hopeless. They got problems, but they don't know how to solve those problems because they don't have a vision of what God says about that, how to solve problems. It seems like without a vision, everybody goes somewhere. But you see, it's the vision. The visions give us that practical advantage. It sets a direction in our lives. And we start to see, yeah, that will work. That's a new avenue. That's something that I can accept. You see, a vision starts to serve as a roadmap to where we can get to show people the same roadmap of how they can get there. It helps them. Whenever you have enough energy and you can show it to them, it energizes them too. So I'm hoping that you can start to see this. You see, without a vision, sometimes our passion kind of leaks. We might have a passion to reach people, but if we don't have a vision and of how we can do that and have some vehicles to take us there that God wants to give us, then we don't get it accomplished. There's a fellow that I want to take as an example this morning. This comes right out of the Old Testament. His name is Nehemiah. And just to give you some background on what Nehemiah has, you know, the Israelites, as you remember, were in Babylon, and they were hindered because they become slaves there. And during that time, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed, and Nehemiah come to recognize that. And there's something about Nehemiah I want to read to you here now out of Nehemiah chapter 1 and in the first 11 verses of chapter 1. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Kaziah, it came to pass in the month of Chibiz that in the 20th year, as I was in Shethan, the citadel, and Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. And the walls of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And he says, and so it was that when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heavens. I want us to see something here just before we go any further in that scripture. Nehemiah heard something. He explored it. He was burdened. And when he was burdened, he began to pray. He didn't run off and say, well, this is my idea and this is how I think we can fix this. He prayed. He's seen it. God stirred his emotion, if I can make application to the previous two messages, previous two Sundays. His emotion was stirred. When his emotion was stirred, he was already now in his soul and he was burdened, and the emotional part of him kicked in. And he's seen the need. Now how do we solve this? Provide for this need. And so he began to pray. Let me pick up in verse 5. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heavens, O great and awesome God, you who kept your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. He also there, look at this, because he began to say, I know where we was wrong, and I know that I want to correct it. And Lord, I'm asking you to show me how I can correct it, and please hear my prayers. He went on to say, both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, that the statutes nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. He says in verse 8, rather I pray, he says, that the words you commanded your servant Moses, by pray, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among nations. But if you will return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the furthest parts of heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, he says, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who desire to fear for your name. And let your servants prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of his men. I want to stop there. You see a humility? You see the humility that Nehemiah has? He had a problem. He's seen a problem. He was burdened. But he went to the Almighty God where all of the answers are, and was grieved, but he was on his knees, and he was praising God, but and telling God that God was right, and God is always right. But he says, show me the things that I need to do. Show me. Please, grant me all the things I need. Whatever you want me to do, show me. In chapter 2 of Nehemiah, there's something here I want us to see. Nehemiah says in verse 11, and then we're going to go to 17 if you're looking in your Bibles. Verse 11 says, I came to Jerusalem and I was there 3 days. In other words, he went and surveyed the whole thing. In 17 then, verse 17, then I said to them, you see the distress that we're in and how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God which had gone before me. God had gone before. You hear that? And also, he said, of the king's words which he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to the good work. The approach Nehemiah took. He heard about, he seen, he went and counted the cost, he had worked it through with his king. He had some people that was willing then to come about, to come alongside, because God was readying their hearts to accomplish what needed to be done. The thing that I want you to see here is that Nehemiah's vision, and it's how we should get a vision. And it goes back to tie into what we've been talking about the previous 2 weeks, of how God will inspire us with getting our emotions stirred. That part of our soul called emotion. And whenever that's stirred, we begin. We begin to say, okay, what should I do next? The first thing we do is hit our knees. And that's what Nehemiah done. As we hit our knees and we begin to say, God, show us those burdens. And as we see the burdens, okay, Lord, what is it I need to do? I want to try to relate that to where we are today in this society that we live in, and especially this church right in the middle of Coshocton, Ohio, and Coshocton County and the surrounding area. Divorce rate, 52%. Single parents. I don't know what that number is, but I know it's vast. Blended families coming together, trying to make it again. Out of that 52% that's going through a divorce, most of them will remarry. And then we got his kids and her kids, and we have special things that create special needs, folks. I'm not saying they're problems, I'm saying that they're special needs. And I really believe that we can, if we'll just get the vision, they're around us every day. I think there's a God-ordained vision here that he's trying to show us that becomes a concern for every one of us. You know, something will bother you about the ways things are and the way things are headed whenever you're observant. When that divine appointment's put before you, there's far more needs in this church, in this world, in this community than what we can ever single-handedly take on and accomplish. I believe that, and I know that because I've been there. But you know, we can do so much more together to reach to this community if we'll each one take a piece and say, we can do something about this. My church has something and we can help you. And as you bring them on, we're going to share with you this morning the vision of how you can help them. And it's so simple for you to do. And we have something to do, or something that we can help them with. God's call upon this church and to every one of us, that our vision should be a reflection of what God calls us to do through His Spirit. And it's not about us, you and me, maintaining the status quo necessarily in our lives. Sometimes we reach that comfortable place in our lives and we're not reaching beyond maybe our doorsteps. Even though the neighbor is in distress and could use something that you have to offer, because we're so comfortable, sometimes we don't go beyond the status quo. Sometimes we lose sight of what those needs really are. We got to understand that we got right now a hemorrhaging world and a hurting world in so many different avenues in the social world, the married world, raising children. There's broken hearts. There's fractured families. There's difficult times. But you see, you and I have something that we can offer them. Oh yes, it's Jesus Christ. This week, it was a reflection to me again as we had the tent set up there in kind of a location where people had to pass by. But anything about Jesus Christ wasn't what they was interested in at that particular time. They was interested in turning that corner and heading down to where the food was and where the grandstand was and that kind of thing. But you know, if we was in that same home, or if they lived right next door to us, that same home has the same needs as they had at the fair. They was trying to find a release, perhaps in the wrong place. But you have something to offer them, and I'm going to share that with you here in a minute. People really, really deep down, they're looking for some kind of meaning in their life, something that's meaningful, something that they can grab a hold of and they can use, and it'll make a difference. Now, what can you and I do about that? I think we've got to be visionary people. Whenever visionary people are looking, they see needs. And whenever we see needs, just as Nehemiah shares with us, we should be burdened. And whenever we're burdened, it stirs a passion in our hearts, because that's what our heart is. A heart that's full of passion, and we want to do something about it. Visions are born in those people, the man and woman, who's consumed really with a tension between something that what ought to be done and what could be done. I know that to be true. I've been there many times. I see the need, and I'd really like to help. Sometimes I just don't know what to do except to pray. But if you can give somebody something that's meaningful, something that will help them, and you start praying about them, that they will be receiving you, and you're weeping. You know, I think that visions sometimes and burdens and we have to get down sometimes, as Nehemiah did, and weep for what's going on in this life. So that's where this message goes this morning, and some things that we're going to be talking about here. Let's come alongside each other and reach to those families that are hurting, to help them. And maybe it's in this church. Maybe you can be a facilitator to some of the seminars that we're going to be talking about here in a minute. You've probably heard some of these comments. Maybe it's one of your coworkers that leaves work and says someone's trying to talk them into stopping and having a beer with someone else. And they say, "Oh yeah, I'll stop and have a beer with you. My old lady, well, she'll be there whenever I get there. She'll feed the kids, and whenever I get there, I'll get there. No big deal." You may have heard something like that or something along those lines. Where's the love? Where's the respect? Or you might be shopping at Walmart, and as you're shopping at Walmart or maybe some other store, and Johnny is screaming to the high notes of his voice, he wants this car, or he wants this toy, or he wants this. And the only thing that you usually hear is, "You stop that yelling or I'm going to da-da-da," whatever. No training was there. The training had to occur before they got to the store. You're usually not going to stop in the store very much unless you take them outside, right? You talk to them, but it has to be nevertheless. Or then there's the blended family. And you have her kids, his kids, and they come together in this family, and usually it turns out to be something like this. "Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. His kids, they just won't listen to me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I just don't understand what I can do, as long as..." And my kids are doing fine, incidentally. My kids don't have a problem. But just can't bring them together. Blended families everywhere. The single parents. I run into those all the time, and you do too. The single parent, the mother, she'll say, "I love my baby. I love my baby. I just can't believe this father. How he won't take any responsibility. He won't support. He's not working. And now he's in jail." 3 times this week I had calls just like that. And whenever you mention something to them over the phone anyway, "Well, we got something that we can help you with," sometimes they're rejected. But that doesn't stop our passions for wanting to go forth and use the spiritual gifts that we have, using the resources that we have. Folks, you and I have something that this church can offer them. Every one of them. And if we've got any emotional distress in our hearts, any passion in our hearts, as God would call us, and how we could reach out to love these people, it's through some of the seminars that we can present to them. We're called to be encouragers. We're called to be edifiers. We're called to be people that love other people. And if we can do that with some genuine, practical advice that still ties directly into this word, what a difference it will make. Think about this. If you can reach the need with love, and through these seminars that you have interactiveness and you have discussion, and they love you and they learn from you and they learn from others, and then they come to your small groups where you tie together and you build camaraderies and you build friendships. Folks, I believe that's how we're supposed to grow a church. But first of all, you got to have some vehicle to get them to, something that will that they'll react to, something that they'll understand. You know, you could become a facilitator of these classes as well, but let me tell you how they work. And then I'm going to go through each one. Some of you know this, some of you don't, but I'll tell you how it works. There's a DVD video that's presented by a fellow called Dr. Kevin Lehman. And Dr. Kevin Lehman has worked with Focus on the Family. He's written several books. And he'll present these in DVD form. It's a great teaching. Now, the application of that is what becomes important. So now we have a workbook that we go through and where we can do case studies, making application of what he was teaching. Even though not a lot of scripture is quoted, because we're trying to reach the unsaved world sometimes, the principles are there. The very same principles are there. Now, if you make application of the instruction in case studies and through the workbook, you do this, it opens up people to start opening up to each other. It's a safe place, and we make sure it's that people understand it's a safe place. And as we open up and we have the interactive discussions, just like small groups, people learn to know one another. They love one another. What an opportunity to bring them into your Sunday school class afterwards. What an opportunity to bring them into your church, because through that period, they're going to be introduced to Jesus Christ. Not only do they get fed things that they can use, but they come to know Jesus Christ. You see, it's a wonderful opportunity for us. I'd like to have the folks that's got those handouts, if you might hand those out at this point. And while they're handing them out, I'm going to share with you a story. Preacher was preaching a sermon one time, and as he was preaching to the congregation about how they had to move forward and how they had to reach out to folks, the preacher says, "Folks, this church has got to walk." Well, the old deacon sitting down on the front seat, he says, "Let her walk, preacher, let her walk." And then he says, "Church, if we're going to move out and to accomplish things we need to do, this church has got to run." And the deacon says, "Let her run, preacher, let her run." And then he says, "Well, if this church is going to move out, this church is going to have to fly." And the deacon says, "Let her fly, preacher, let her fly." And then the preacher said, "Well, if this church is going to fly, we're going to have to give an offering." And the deacon says, "Let her walk, preacher, let her walk." That sometimes is the way we are. We're not asking for money here. We have something that's a vision that I believe will be helpful to everyone. As you receive that, I want to go through it and try to get you to see this is not difficult, but it's very, very important that you understand what's there, and you can take these. These are yours to take. On the top, everybody's got one now, I assume. On the top is something called the application. That's simple things. Down there, you have the different classes that they might be able to take. And then they can say down there at the bottom, "I prefer the weekend seminar," or "I prefer a 7-session seminar." Okay, they can circle that. And then, "I understand that the cost of 7 sessions is $25 to cover the materials of the class." You know what? We put that in there. Because what we found out is whenever you buy into something, it usually becomes more meaningful if you got to put some dollars in. But I want you to look just below that. It says, "I would like to attend the above circle courses, but I'm submitting a request for a scholarship." There's not one person that will be refused because of what it costs them. We'll provide it for everyone. We just know that that cost covers the workbooks. You know what? We'll find a way to cover that. It's so important. What an investment that we can make through this. So that's the application form. Let's run through the blue sheet for real quick. Making the most of marriage. Look out on the side. You can see what the course entitlement is. Designed to be different. Everyone is different. When two people come together in a marriage, they're different. They've come from different environments. They've got different cultures, perhaps. But balancing the changes and the benefits of two distinctive personalities. I can share with you real quick that Paula came from Texas. I was in Ohio. There was different cultures, you know. We had differences of opinion on different things. But you know what? Whenever you reach to the Christianity, we understand that one will complement the other. And that's what happens. Number two, where have all the flowers gone? We want to do, whenever you love someone with the totality, you will love them and you'll find the best of them to love. Number three, striking the perfect match. How birth order affects that. And you can read books on that, but you'll find out that birth order does control it. That's part of the subject matter. That's one of the sessions. Number four, looking for love in two special faces. How kids grow and thrive through mom and dad's relationship. I'll tell you what, if mom and dad's always fighting, guess what you're going to have? But if you got mom and dad loving and understanding and working things through, makes a difference. And that's what we talk about in that session. Next one, don't rock the jukebox. Resolving conflicts by tuning in or tuning on and turning on and tuning in. Then the next one, a lot of people like this. The sex begins in the kitchen, but it's how to light the fire and keep the flame burning. I'll tell you what, that's so meaningful. He's got a topic matter there that draws attention, but that is really a great night whenever that one's done. And then enjoying the journey, becoming a one in marriage that will last a lifetime. That's all good stuff. It's meaningful stuff and can have a real impact upon your life and anyone else's life. Number two, turn to the green sheet. Here we got making kids mind without losing yours. Here's the subject matter. Out on the left or on the right. Daring to be a courageous parent. Developing the courage to do what is best for your kids. Number two session, why kids behave. Understanding kids and why they do what they do. Number three, becoming the parent God wants you to be. In other words, maintaining authority without being an authoritarian. That becomes important. Nine ways to be your teenager's best friend and how to gain your teenager's love and respect and keep it forever. The ABCs of self-image, helping kids feel good about themselves and all for the right reasons. And then, that interesting last one is when to let the little buzzards tumble, turning everyday hassles into everyday successes. That's a tremendous session. The next one there on the yellow sheet is have a new kid by Friday. I'm not going to run down through all of these. The two I ran down through is going to be taught first in the church, and we got a schedule, and it'll be up coming up. I'll give it to you here in a minute. But have a new kid by Friday is positively motivating children to do the right things and how to accomplish that. And breaking free from the parent trap. Sometimes we're stereotyped as to how we're going to handle a given situation. All he does is open up the positive motivating factors that can be used to help parents. So that's a great class. The next one I'll run through with you is the pink, or I guess that's mauve. I'm not sure what color that is. I think it's pink or whatever. Know the river. He says running the rapids. We're talking about youth parenting. And what he's really talking about is we know we have rebellious teenagers. Whenever they reach an age, they're going to be rebellious. Your point of a parent is give them some freedom. Don't hold them too tight, but keep them from crashing into the sides of the river as they flow down through the river of life. How do you keep them from crashing and burning? And that's a good class for teenage parents. The next one on the buff-colored sheet is for blended family, bringing peace and harmony to the blended family. It's a good one. You know, it would be good if everybody that was going to be remarrying, where there's parents of kids in both families, before all of us say I do. That's a good session. And with these kids, I thee wed. It's just a great subject matter, things of how you need to blend families and how they can come together. The next one on the pink sheet, I guess there's more toward an orange or whatever it is. I guess it's pink. Single parenting that works, putting things first, how to bring stability to children by getting your own life in order. That becomes ultimate. Before they can be parents, they got to know who they are and where they're going and have a vision for themselves and how we can facilitate that to cast a vision for them, help them find a vision of themselves. How forgiveness opens the door to healthy relationships. We know that if you can't forgive your brother, then God can forgive you. And how can we come to that point? These are all good classes, folks, and they're all available through this church. And if you could help me facilitate them, we can even do a better job. So I encourage you to think about that. The backside is, of course, the junior youth program that was talked about this morning. We're going to start meeting pretty quickly here again, the 20th, I believe the date was. Is that right? I think it was. And then, of course, the backside is the Awana. We all know about, I hope, that we got a special emphasis to go on now, though, of the Ronald McDonald House to work for missions. Now, did I bore you? If I bored you with that, you got to ask yourself where you are, because every one of those will meet someone that you know and help them. As you help them, you're loving them. And as you love them, we hope that they'll see Jesus Christ. But also that they'll get some practical guidelines that are all based upon this. If you're burdened, if you are burdened, we can accomplish many, many things. I want you to look beside you, behind you, in front of you. And every one of those chairs represents someone that has a need for what we just talked about. Every one of those chairs in this sanctuary represents somebody that's hurting, somebody that needs Jesus, somebody that knows what they can do to heal their marriage or to make it better. Not that it's necessarily terrible, but to make it better. To raise children in a godly atmosphere. To come to know yourself again as a blended family or as a single parent. They're all needs. Folks, everyone need it. And if you are burdened, if your soul is burdened, if the Holy Spirit, let me just say this, if the Holy Spirit is on board in your life and you're saved, I can't see how you can pass by and not see the divine appointments of people that are hurting and in need of some aid and some help. Burdens and passions bring prayer, and prayer brings you to them and bringing them to get some practical help. You know, our name is Coshocton Baptist Church. But more than that, we're a group of people that ought to be looking and seeing burdens of life in other people's and want to share with them, love them, encourage them, and have something that's practical to give to them. Oh, I know Jesus Christ is a practical thing, but what if you reach to them where their need is first? Meeting people where the need is. And as we reach people where the need is, and they understand that you're serious and it's a good thing, they'll come to know Jesus. They'll come to know Jesus. And they'll come to be a part of you, and you want to be friends with them and provide a community of believers that are coming to certainly have their souls satisfied by Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to talk about, in our Bible study tonight, we're going to talk about procrastination. I'm going to tell you right now, you can procrastinate. And probably I could say that if I went to many houses this afternoon, that this might be found maybe on the side of the refrigerator, or it might be on the coffee table. It might be a lot of places, and it might be there a week from now, collecting dust. But if we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish, of meeting people where their needs are, I encourage you, take this, share it with them, get an application filled out, or just have them call me, or have me call them. We will reach to them and try to meet some of those needs. I think we've got to turn into just do it people for God. And I think there's a good reason. I want to read to you as we close today a little scripture from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding. And lo, it was grown over with thorns, and thistles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. We got a whole country that's growing with thorns and thistles. We got a whole country that's messed up, very honestly. A whole country of people that don't know Jesus Christ and don't know what to do with their lives. They're in messes everywhere. Oh, I know there's some people that are Christians and are out there, but it's the Christians that have to do the work of taking something to them. It's like taking something to them that will make a difference. Now's not the time to procrastinate. If you look at what's going on in the world around us, it's scary. If you look at what's going on in our country, it's scary. Now, I'm not scared because I know where I'm going. But you know what? I'm scared for one thing, and that is those ones that we needed to reach and could have reached, but didn't. And now's not the time to procrastinate. If we are who we are, should be, if we're who we say we are, that we are loving children of God, then I think we need to respond. We have something to respond with. We have something to respond to a lot of people with. I encourage you to do so. Also encourage you this morning, if you're here and have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you something, that He loved you so much that He went to that old rugged cross right there and He died a horrible death for you and me and our sins. Not only did He die and was buried, but the great thing was, by the power of God, He was raised on the third day. My Bible says that if you'll believe that simple story of Easter, you shall be saved. That begins the process. That's only the beginning of the process, that we need to live out our salvation. I didn't say we had to work for our salvation. I said we got to live it out. That's what James tells us, to live it out. Folks, this is living it out. This is reaching to needs. This is reaching where we can reach and make a difference. But if you're here and not been saved, I pray that you'll come during the invitational time this morning, and I'm glad to share with you how you can be and pray with you. If you know someone this morning that's already hurting and they could use you, pray. Why don't you come and pray? Pray and ask God how He might work in your life to reach them. If you're burdened and you begin to pray, we can look at Nehemiah as a great example. God filled his heart, and then God showed him how he could accomplish it. And this morning, I think we got the vision. I hope you got the vision of what we can do to make a difference. Can we stand and pray together? Precious Lord, we heard you. We heard about your servant Nehemiah and how he responded to you, and you responded to him. I pray this morning, Lord, that you got some folks here, your people, that will also respond to you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to you right now in prayer and admiration. And we praise you for the opportunities that are before us. Let us not procrastinate. I ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You just have something that God's got upon your heart that you need to talk to Him this morning, we encourage you to come at this time. I'm not going to be singing anything. And for you to have with God, for you to come to Him. Personally, I've never felt closer than whenever I was on my knees before Him. I encourage you to come. attention to you this morning. There's a lot of people we're praying for, and just be the praying church that we're supposed to be. A lot of people hurting. A lot of people in need of healings emotionally, spiritually, and certainly physically. Chuck.
I want to thank the pastor for the message here this morning. It's always been the purpose of the church to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And we as Christians have been placed here in this church to do that. We are supposed to be performing the accomplishments that he wants done in this community. So bow your heads, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time that you have allowed us to come into your house here this morning. We thank you, Father, for the message that we received here, and we just ask, Lord, that you allow us to ponder on this message and bring this to happen here at this church. Now, Father, as we prepare to leave here, we just ask that you watch over us, you guide and direct us in all that we do in this upcoming week, that you keep a close watch on each one of us, Father. And Lord, we just lift each prayer request up to you that has been received here this morning, and we just ask that your will be done in each. These things we ask and we pray for in Jesus' precious name. Amen.